Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Ili Nishmas Avimori of David Tzvi and Rav Yosef as a merit for Refuah Shleima for many, unfortunately, in our community that are very seriously ill. Hashem should send them Refuah Shleima Bekarov. I'm gonna mute everybody. If you want to unmute yourself, of course, you have a question. Please feel free to unmute yourself if you have a question. We are up to the Mishnah on the bottom of the Testament Bays. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Chaf. With Hashem's help, we're going to finish the first parak of Shabbos and begin the second parak of Amma Madlikin. Okay, let's finish the first parak. Says the Heilige Mishnah, Ein Tzolin. So in the past couple of Mishnahs, we've learned a number of things that Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do Erev Shabbos because they're going to continue on Shabbos. And Beis Hillel says you are allowed to do them if they continue on Shabbos. Then we learned a few things that Beis Shammai agrees to Beis Hillel that's mutter. Now we're going to learn a few things that Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai that are usser. Let's see. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Ein tzolin basar batzel ubeitza ela kadesha yitzolim ba'od yom. One is not permitted to roast meat or an onion or an egg unless they can cook before Shabbos. The Gemara is going to explain exactly how much it has to cook before Shabbos. So it would sound like this, that to put up your challah to Erev Shabbos 1 minute before Shabbos, when it's not cooked at all, would be forbidden, according to everybody. That's what it sounds like. We'll have to see the halacha lemaisa of this when we get up to Parak Kira in the third parak. There's a lot of discussion about that. We're just mentioning it a little bit here. Ein nosten pas latanarim chashecha. One is not allowed to place bread into the oven right before dark. Velo charar al gabi gecholim. You're not allowed to place a biscuit on the coals. Ela kadesh yikrimu panami ba'od yom. It's only if it already gets hardened, the outside gets hardened while it's still day. And the Mepharshim explained the reason is that we're not worried Shemi Yechata B'Gholim. If it's going to harden from before Shabbos, we're not worried that on Shabbos you're going to come to adjust the flame. That's the big problem with putting up all kinds of food Erev Shabbos. We're afraid Shemi Yechata B'Gholim, that maybe you're going to come to adjust to get it to cook faster. That's the issue. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kadeshikrum HaTachton Shalah. It's got to be the bottom. The Gemara is going to explain which part the bottom is, because when you place bread in an oven, so the bottom of the loaf is hitting the fire, but there's also a bottom that's on the side of the tanner itself. So it's not clear which part the bottom is. We're going to have a discussion about that. Mishalshin es haPesach b'tanner, you are allowed to place the carbon Pesach when Erev Pesach is also Erev Shabbos, im chashecha before dark. The reason is because since Pesach is done b'chabura, someone from your chabura is going to remind you not to adjust the fire. And similarly, also, the Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash were allowed to set fire to the bonfire that was in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, that would keep the Kohanim warm. You were allowed to light that Erev Shabbos because the Kohanim's Rizimheim, the Kohanim are very, very careful with observing halacha scrupulously, and therefore, since they were very careful with observing scrupulously, some of the Kohanim would remind the other ones to make sure not to adjust the flame. Uvagvulin outside the Beis Hamikdash kadesha techos are berubo. So you had to wait long enough that the fire would hit a majority. Majority. The Gemara is going to discuss what this means. That you had to wait until a majority of the bonfire was on fire. And once the majority is on fire, we're not worried you're going to adjust the flame anymore because it's going to burn everything. Rabbi Yehuda Omer bebechamin. When it comes to coals, they burn easier, so kol shehu. You don't have to wait for a majority, even when just a kol shehu, even when just a little bit is burnt, so then the whole thing is burnt as well. Ask the Gemara, Vikama, how cooked does the challenge have to be on Erev Shabbos before you put it up? Says the Gemara, it's got to be 1/3 cooked. Amar Rabbi Elazar Marav, Kedei sheyatzul miyom kemachal ben drusai. Ah, the famous shear of machal ben drusai. Who were the Drusai? They were the robbers, the gangsters. So they would eat their food on the run. They didn't have time to fully cook it. So the amount that it would be cooked, that at least the Ben Drusai would eat it, which Chazal say means 1/3 cooked. 1/3 cooked. So that's already royal achila. We're not worried you're going to adjust the fire. Once it's already cooked, you're not going to adjust the fire because then you're risking overcooking it. So once it's 1/3 cooked Erev Shabbos, you are allowed to put up the challenge. Erev Shabbos, if it's cooked kemachal ben drusai, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And I'm pretty sure that's the way we pass it. So we're not worried you didn't come to adjust it. It manami amarav asi amarav yochanan kol shehu kemachal ben drusai ein bo mishum bishulei nachrim. Similarly, bishul akum, let's say you have a housekeeper in the house and you cook the food already 1/3. So your housekeeper is now going to put it up. She's going to light the flame. She's going to turn on the oven. She's going to cook, but she's going to cook the rest of it. So the Gemara says that's not a problem because once it's cooked, kemachal ben drusai, it's already edible. So what she's doing is just making it well done. It's now rare. So she's going to make it medium rare or medium or well done or whatever. She's going to make it better. So that's not a problem with bishul akum because it's already edible beforehand. She didn't really cook it. Tanya Chananya Omer. Chananya's sheet is kol shu kemachal ben drusai mutal hashos al gabe kira. Chananya's opinion is anything that's cooked. Now we're going to learn in the third parak whether we follow Chananya or not. Kol shu kemachal ben drusai mutal hashos al gabe kira. Anything that's already cooked, the amount of kemachal ben drusai, it is permissible to put it on the oven erev Shabbos. Af va'af al pi she'ein grufo k'tuma. So these words are very important to remember for all of Hilchah Shabbos. Grufo k'tuma. Grufo k'tuma. Grufa means the coals are removed. Ketuma means they're not removed, but you put sand on them to remind yourself not to adjust them. That's grufo k'tuma. That's why my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Willig, holds that, what's the best way to heat up food on Shabbos morning? And again, I want to get into the details of this now. We'll talk about this a lot later in the third parak. But just when we're talking about grufo k'tuma, so how do they heat up food on Shabbos morning in the Kamenetsky household? So in the Kamenetsky household, based on the Pesach of Mordechai Willig, so we use what's called a non-adjustable hot plate. A non-adjustable hot plate. It's mamish non-adjustable. There's no dial on it. You can't make it from low to middle to high. So in the Kamenetsky household, it's just this old-fashioned, you know, big. You just plug it into the wall and it's one piece and it's just solid metal. There's no adjustment. There's no dials. So it's mamish grufo k'tuma. You can't, it's not nira k'mavashel. We're going to talk about that also. If you put it on Shabbos, it's a problem nira k'mavashel. But nobody cooks with these things. It's just a warmer. You don't cook it. It's just something you warm up with it. You can't cook with it. It's not going to cook anything. It'll take you a year and a yovel to cook anything. Nobody cooks. So it doesn't look like you're cooking. And there's no problem shema yichata because you can't adjust it. There's nothing to adjust. There's no dial. So it's like grufo k'tuma. So that's why my Rebbe Mordechai Willig holds. And that's for years and years and years in the Kamenetsky household. That's the way you don't ask me about warming drawers. That happened after I learned Hilchah Shabbos. I have no idea about warming drawers. You got to ask Rabbi Akiva Willig. That happened later. That's after my time. Well, I'm not even gurus that. I don't even know what it is. It happened after my time. So anyway, so you could ask your local Orthodox rabbi about that. Okay. Zakt the Gemara Viter. Here we go. Ein nosin esapas. So you're not allowed to put the bread in the oven unless it's going to the face of it is going to be hardened before Shabbos. Yiboiluhu, the Bnei Yeshiva asked the Kasha. Tachton, it says it's got, so one opinion said it's got to be the bottom side, it's got to be hard. So which is the bottom side? Hech degabe tanner, is that the part that's attached to the oven? O Dilma, tachton hech degabe ha'ur. It's the part that's facing downward by the fire. Tashmar Belez Omer, Kadesh Yikru Panea, Hamidubakin Batana. Here you have a fair shepraisa. It says, no, the part of it that was attached to the bread, to the oven, that's called the Tana. Mishal Shana Sa Pesach. So you're allowed to put the Karban Pesach in the pot to cook the ketuah. I'm sorry, you're allowed to roast the Karban Pesach in the oven before Shabbos. Even if it's not fully cooked by Shabbos and Yontav, my time, or why you're allowed to do that. Mishum de b'nei chabura is the reason name. Since you eat Karban Pesach with chabura, someone's going to remind you, don't adjust the thing. Since you're with a chabura, someone's going to remind you. Ask the Gemara. Halav hachilo, but what if you didn't have this reason, then it would be usur. Didn't we learn before, v'amamar, didn't we learn earlier on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, gadya, a goat, Karban Pesach is a goat, Bain Sharik, Bain Lo Sharik, Shaper Dami. That whether you sealed the oven shut or you didn't seal the oven, a goat is always mutter to put up right before Shabbos because you're not going to open up the oven to adjust the flame because the wind that blows in is going to ruin the cooking. So we're not worried that you're going to open up the oven. Answer the Gemara, Hasam Mitnach. There we're talking about pieces of goat. So there the wind is going to ruin it. But hacha, by Karban Pesach, it's the whole animal together. It's big, lo mintach. It's not chopped up into pieces. Like the pasuk says, rosho al kirbo. Since it's not chopped up into pieces, So the wind is not going to destroy it. So we are worried that you're going to open it up. And that's why we are, and that's why if you didn't have this reason of the fact that you had the whole B'nai Chabura, it would have been Asur. Ah, says the Gemara. Umachizin Esa'or. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have a bonfire in the Azara that the Kohanim would go to warm themselves. They're all barefoot there. It got cold in Yerushalayim. It gets cold up in the mountain over there in Yerushalayim. It gets cold. So they would have a bonfire. Now, so they would light the bonfire Erev Shabbos. But the Mishnah said, you got to wait. They had the Kohanim to wait until it caught on to a majority. Right? Is that what the Mishnah said? The Mishnah said, Umachizen esa'or b'meduras beis hamoked. Right. So in Beis HaMikdash, it was enough just a little bit. Uvigvulin, but outside Beis HaMikdash, you need majority. So inside the Beis HaMikdash was enough, even a minority. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you needed a majority, because Kohanim's reason him, so they're going to be careful to remind you not to adjust the flame. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you needed a majority. Ask the Gemara Minahani Mile. From where do we know that in Beis HaMikdash, there was a special leniency that you were allowed to do it even if you didn't have a majority? Amar Rav Huna, funny source. Lo sevaru esh b'chol moshvoseichem. You're not allowed to light fires in your houses on Shabbos. B'chol moshvoseichem ya tamaver. I will tamaver b'duras meis hamogid. But Beis HaMikdash is okay. Says, wait a second. From that would imply even on Shabbos you could light the fire. What does it say? Don't lo sevaru esh b'chol moshvoseichem b'yom haShabbos. In your house, you can't do it on Shabbos. What, in Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to light a fire on Shabbos? Says, "Gemara, Master of Chista Ihachi, Afilu b'Shabbos Nami." If that's where you're learning it from, it sounds like you can do it even on Shabbos. That's not correct. So, El Amar of Chista, no. Kra ki asi lemishrei evarim upadarim hu da'asa. No. The Kohanim's reason, heim. This pasuk is coming to permit you to burn on Friday night the fats and the limbs from the karbanos that were shechted on Friday day. So you are allowed to set that fire. You are allowed to set that fire on Shabbos. But the reason why they permitted in the Beis HaMikdash was a different reason, was Kohanim's reasoning. So it sounds like you're allowed to light that fire Friday night to burn the fats and the limbs. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara, Dibur Maschil Evarim. Take a look at Rashi in the middle of the page. Evarim Bidarm, right in the middle of the page. Ramadan Hudasa. Lahatir Sakteran Kola Laila. Avo Medurus Pesamokashin and Tsar Kavo El Tsar Kohanim. But the fire in the Azara was for the Kohanim, so that wasn't permitted to light the fire on Shabbos. The Samach Lachashechan at the time of the Logazim Shim to Kohanim is reason, hey. Shekulam Hayu B'nei Torah. Because all the Kohanim were B'nei Torah. The Charedim. They were all Charedim. Charedim. Charedim means somebody who's very careful about mitzvahs. The Charedim and his karim, they would remember, they would not come to adjust the flame once it was dark. So that's Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. However, Tosfos, in this long, Tosfos yells at Rashi, how are you allowed to burn Friday night the limbs from the karbanos of Friday day? The Gemara later on, Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, is going to say against this. The Gemara says from the Pasuk, Olas Shabbas Bishabato. The Gemara is going to learn out that you're only allowed to burn Shabbos Karbanos on Shabbos, Olas Shabbas Bishabato, but you're not allowed to burn the limbs and the fats of Friday on Friday night. You're not allowed to do that. So, Tosfos answers that the Gemara there is talking about a case where you did not start to burn them on Erev Shabbos. If you did not start to burn the Friday limbs, the limbs from the Friday Karbanos, Erev Shabbos, then you're not allowed to just start burning them Friday night. However, our sugya is talking about where you already lit the karbanos, the fats and the limbs, you started the fire in them by day. You started them by day. You're just going to let them keep burning throughout the night. So the fire already started burning the limbs before Shabbos started. And that's why you are allowed to continue burning them on Shabbos. That's the way Tosfos held. However, the Ritva asks against this answer. The Ritva asks, why do we need to learn from a pasuk that if they did not, you did not start to burn the limbs erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to burn them on Shabbos? Even on a weekday, the Ritva holds a tremendous chiddush. The Ritva holds, even on a weekday, you're not allowed to burn at night the fats and limbs from the day's karbanos unless you began burning those fats and limbs. Even on a weekday, you have to start by day. If you didn't start them during the week, you're not allowed to burn them at night. That's what the Ritva holds. But all the other achronim say it's against a lot of other sugyas that say, no, you're allowed to, on a weekday, you're allowed to just start the fire at night. So that's the Ritva has a mechudeshtika opinion that all the burning of the limbs and the fats always had to start during the day and then they can continue into the night. But you couldn't start at night. But other Rishonim disagree. But anyway, the Ritva has a different shot. He says that the Gemara later on is talking about that you can't on Shabbos make an additional fire, even if the fats and limbs started burning Erev Shabbos, but now you want to make another fire, a whole nother fire Friday night. That you're not allowed to do to make it, to help it burn better. Even if it started burning, even if you already had a fire, you're not allowed to start a brand new fire. But you are allowed to add on to the same fire. You're not allowed to make a different fire, but you are allowed to add on to the same fire. At any rate, so the Gemara basically says over here that the reason why the Kohanim were allowed to just light a small little fire and we're not worried they're going to come to adjust it is because Kohanim's reason, hey? And we learned, at least Rashi's shita is, that the pasuk Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshe Sechem B'yom HaShabbos comes to teach me that there was something that was permitted in Beis HaMikdash, and that is you are allowed to burn. You are allowed to allow the fire to continue burning Friday night, for the limbs and fats Friday night, because that's considered to be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purposes. So you're allowed to have that fire burning on Friday night. Fine. Let's continue. Uvegvulin kadesha techos. But outside Beis HaMikdash, just to clarify, so Rashi held you even allowed to start that fire on Friday night, but Tosfos held no, it's only if it continues from Erev Shabbos. Fine. So, uvegvulin kadesha techos. Outside Beis HaMikdash, you had to wait till, if you're lighting a bonfire outside Beis HaMikdash, Erev Shabbos, because you want to be hot, you want to be warm Friday night, so you have to wait till the bonfire burns most of the wood. Berubad. Ask them, my Ruban, how do you calculate most of the wood? Amarav, Rov, Kol Echad, V'Echad. Most of each branch. If you have a lot of branches, most of each branch has to be already, in other words, not most of the branches have to be a little bit lit. Most of each branch has to be already burnt. It's not enough that most of the branches are very little bit burnt. Each branch has to be mostly burnt. That's the way Rav learns. Ushmuel Amano. Kedei shelo yomru have eitzim v'naniach tachteyen. Now you don't need it to be most of each branch. It's just enough that if the fire is burnt already, that you don't need more twigs in order to get it going. Tani Rav Chia l'siyuei l'Shmuel. Rav Chia brought a raya to Shmuel from the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It says lahalos ner tamid. The Kohen would have to light the menorah so that the flame and the wick would burn on its own. It's got to be able to burn on its own and not that it's going to need something to have it continue to burn. You know, once you lit it, it's going to continue to burn. So that's the same thing with starting a bonfire. You shouldn't need any more like starter stuff, like lighter fluid or newspaper or twigs. We're going to discuss in a moment how in Camp Maganav when I was a kid. They taught us how to light fires. This is not like, you know, when I was growing up, so we went to camp. So Thursday was hike day because the kitchen would close on Thursday. So everybody would pack out and do hikes. Then Thursday night was cookout. We all had to make our own fires. I don't think it would go with the camp's insurance policies nowadays. But in those days, the whole camp was, we had campfires over the whole camp. And you take you find a stick, you'd cut it down with your pocket knife, and you'd put a hot dog on the end of the stick, and you would roast the hot dog in the fire. That's the way we all did it in Camp Maganav in the old days. So they all taught us how to light fires. So you'll see, the Gemara is going to talk a little bit. There's be a major lesson in fire starting here. Nafkamina for chametz on Erev Pesach. And Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva about this. He said you should flush it down the toilet this year. But I've been doing it for the last 20 years because I know how to make a fire, and I'm very careful in my backyard. We do it all the time. Anyway, Tani Rabbi Chiel is Yul Shmuel Kadesh Tesh Al Shavuz Al Meila V'lo Shli Shavuz Olai the Davar Acher. It's not going to need anything more. Says the Gemara. Eitz Yechidi. What about if a person is just lighting a single wooden log? Rav Amar Rov Avyo. Rav says you need most of the thickness of the log should be penetrated with fire. Va'amrila, some say Barov Hekefo, most of the circumference of the log. Amar of Papa, Hilkach, Be'inon Rov Avyo, Ubi'inon Rov Hekefo. You need both. Before Shabbos, it's got to be most of the circumference of the log is burnt, and also most of the thickness of the log in the middle of it. Says the Mar Kitanai, this issue is actually a machlokes hatanoim. It's actually a machlokes hatanoim. Rabbi Chiya says, "Kidei sheyishaches ha'etz mimelechas ha'uman." It's got to be, if you have one log, it's got to be that this log is going to be burnt through and through so much that it will no longer be able to be used by a craftsman, which is most of the thickness in the inside. Rabbi Hidu and Meseir Omer Kidei sheyishaches ha'etz mishnei tzadin. He says, no, you need the outside, the circumference. The two sides, the fire burned through. If it's on the two sides and the middle, it's going to no longer be usable for melacha. And it's also known that the inside is dried out. It won't be able to be used anymore. So this pasuk seems to say that you need... that's the circumference that's important. And then it's no longer considered usable. Now the Gemara quotes another pasuk, when Yehoyakim burnt Megillas Eicha. It says a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the ha'ach lefanav mivo ares. So the ach was burning. What does this mean? My ach? So Amarav ach vana. It's referring to a willow. The fire was made out of willows. Shmuel Amar, ach no means eitzim shenidluku be'achva. It means there were a bunch of wood that was close together, so it was all burning. So the little branch caused the larger branch to burn because they were all close together. And now we're gonna have a fire building lesson, which anyone who went to Camp Maganav already knows this. So Lemaisa, I have a little advantage over here in this. Here we go. Hahuda amaluhu man boy achvana. A story to support this. A story happened with somebody who was in the market. He was saying, "Who wants to buy achvana ishtakach aravta?" And it turns out he was holding willows. So you see, achvana means willows. Fine. Now here we go. So here is the fire building trick they taught us in Maganav that nobody knows. So a lot of times, if you don't know what you're doing, if you didn't go to Maganav, so you're trying to burn the Chametz Erev Pesach, you're just going to pile all the wood, just pile it all up there and just light it. It ain't going to light. If you just pile all the wood together and try to light it, it's not going to light. There's a few key things you need to know. First of all, you start with the twigs. But when you start with the twigs, you got to put it like either like in a teepee form or you got to put it like in a box. You can't just shove them all together because what does a fire need to burn? People don't know. Air. A fire needs air to burn. That's why you'd fan the fire. You want to get it to go. You got to fan the fire. You got to get air in there. If you need a lesson from this, if it wasn't the coronavirus, I'd invite everybody over to my backyard on Erev Pesach. I'd show you how to burn the chametz. We do it every year in our house, but this year we're going to be limited to family only. This year, family only. I could do it on the on I could do it on Zoom.
Do it on the Zoom.
I could zoom the fire burning situation. Anybody wants to join me on burning the chametz, I'll show you how to do it just like an old Maganav guy. Label Steinhardt, he taught us all how to make the fires. The head counselor, he taught us all how to do it. Anyway, so now the Gemara is going to mamish have a discussion mamish about this very issue. Mamish, what's the best way to light a fire? Here we go. Take a look. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Kanim ein srichen rov. So if you have a fire made out of reeds, you don't have to wait till a majority of the reeds burn, because the reeds were spread out. And when they're spread out, there's more air. And when there's more air, it's going to burn better. That's a little counterintuitive. The Gemara is going to present somebody who argues on Kem Maganav in a minute. But this is the Maganav way. So Kanim ein srichen rov, because they're spread out, so it's going to burn easy. You don't need a majority. However, Ogdon, but if you tie them together and they're all mamish stuck together and there's no air in there, then you got to wait till Rove. Even though it's counterintuitive. That's because you never went to Maganav. That's why it's counterintuitive. Ogdon, Srich, and Rove. If you tie it together, then you have to wait for a majority because it's not going to burn as well when it's so tight together. You need air in there. And similarly, the Gemara says, Garinim, date pits, Ain Srich and Rove. You don't have to wait till a majority. The dried out date pits, they would make fires with them. Ain Srich and Rove. You don't have to wait till a majority. Nisanan Bechoslos, but if you put them into a, pack them in together in a small jar, Srich and Rove, then you do need a majority because it's not going to burn as well when they're packed together. Says the Gemara, I don't care what you're saying in Maganav. This doesn't make any sense. Maskif la Rav Chisra. Rav Chisra said, what do you mean? I disagree. Adar Haba. The further apart they are, the harder it's going to be for them to burn. Ipcham Mistavra. The opposite makes more sense. Konim, reeds, mibadron, they're spread out, so they're not going to burn so well. But Ogdon, if you tie them together, closer together, they're going to burn better. Lo mibadron. Garinim, mibadron, if the pits are spread out, they're not going to burn as well. But Nasnam behoslos, if you put them in a small kli, lo mibadron, they're not spread out, they're going to burn better. There's a third shita. Third shita is a compromise. Depends what it is. Different things have different consistencies, so they're going to burn in different ways, whether they're spread out or together. Itmar, another third shot. Amar of Kahana, Rav Kahana said, Konim she'ogdon srichen rov. If you bound the reeds together, then they're not going to burn so well. There's no airspace. Then you need a majority. Lo ogdon ein srichen rov. But if you didn't burn them out, if you didn't tie them together, then it's like in Maganav. So there's more airspace. So you don't need to wait for a majority because they're going to burn pretty well. Garinim, but the pits, they get really dried out. They burn very quickly. Srichen rov. Them you need, if they're spread out, then you have to wait for a majority. But Nasim Mechosis, if you put them together in a kli, Ein Srich and Rov, you don't need a majority. Tani Rav Yosef, Arba Maduris, Ein Srich and Rov. There are four types of bonfires that you don't have to wait till majority gets burnt because it's very flammable. So we're not worried. You have to wait for the majority. As soon as you hit a little bit, if you have lighter fluid in there, boom, a little bit of it, boom, the whole thing's going up in flames. Shel Zephes. It's made of pitch, which is a type of tar, v'shel garfer, sulfur, v'shel gvina, cheese, v'shel revav, shuman v'shaiva, that's fat, or wax. We'll have to see whether you're allowed to light Shabbos candles with wax candle. We'll get there. So these things burn very quickly. You don't have to wait for majority. Mastisa tana, afshel kash, straw, v'shel gvava, nettles, or stubble, sorry. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim shel bavel ein srichen rov. Apparently, this type of wood of bavel would burn very quickly. You'd have to wait for a majority. Maskar Rav Yosef, Maihi, what type is that? Ilei masilte. If you're talking about like wood chips, you know, light little wood shavings and wood chips. Hashta psila marula hamadik tzar sheyadik barov ayotze. When it comes to a wick, you have to wait till it hits a majority. The wick silted mibayi. So if it's wood chippings, of course you got to wait for a majority. Elam Rav Yosef. Shocha da'arza. So it's the type of soft bark that's in between the hard bark of a cedar tree and the tree itself is like this soft bark. So that burns very quickly. Runner by Abba Omar, Zaza, a type of moss that's on the tree. Okay, Hajjan Alach Yitzhak Shabbos. Let's start Bama Madlikin. So many of us say this every single Friday night. unless you daven Nusach Sfard. But Bar Madligim, we say everything, and one of the great things is we're now going to finally understand this that we say every Friday night. We read it every Friday night. I don't know about you, I can only speak about myself, but reading it my whole life Friday night. I don't know, I'm embarrassed to say, I don't know what's flying. I have no idea what's going on in Bar Madligim. You know, you're Friday night, you're half asleep, you're saying Bar Madligim. So Baruch Hashem, now we're going to learn it, we're going to mamish understand, we're going to really understand Bar Madligim very, very well, in addition to everything else. Here we go. So Bameh Madligim of Mo'i Madligim. So this the whole parak is discussing the mitzvah of Hadlakas Aneris Friday night. Why do we light candles Friday night? First of all, Bar Madlikim Amay Madlikim. It's funny. It says, what can you light with and what can you not light with? And then it just goes on to tell you everything you can't light with. Doesn't tell you anything about what you are allowed to light with. Doesn't tell you. So, what's the answer? Anything else. Anything that's not here, that's okay. But it still shouldn't have said Bar Madlikim. So some explain the reason why it says that way. Bar Madlikim, by the way, we finished volume one of the Masifta. Only 7 volumes left. Okay, here we go. 7 volumes of Shabbos left. We're going to be learning Shabbos for a while. Through August, I believe. Oh, so new Masifta. Here we go. Bar Madlikim v'moy Madlikim. So some say, why does it say Bar Madlikim? To teach you that there's a mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner is for Shabbos. Bar Madlikim, there's a mitzvah. Later on, the Gemara is going to tell you where the source of that is. But it's some hold it to din d'oraisa, but most poskim hold, most rishonim hold it to din d'rabbanan. What's the reason for hadlakas neiros b'shabbos? 3 reasons. Either kavod Shabbos, oneg Shabbos. There's a stir in Rambam. The Rambam Perakei writes oneg Shabbos. The Rambam Perak Lamed writes kavod Shabbos. Famous piece from the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi talks about how having candles lit on Shabbos, that's oneg Shabbos. The food is less tasty when you can't see it. So it's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos to see the food when you're eating it, but to light it dafka Erev Shabbos, that's Kovod Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon says all the things we do Erev Shabbos is Kovod Shabbos. You put on nice clothing Erev Shabbos, that's Kovod Shabbos. You take a shower, that's Kovod Shabbos. You light the candles, that's Kovod. What's the nafka mina? Let's say you had candles already lit. You already had Thursday night. You had candles that are burning straight through your house's brilliant bright light. So you have the kiyum of Oneg Shabbos. Is there a mitzvah to light the candles? No. So you have to dafka extinguish them and light them Erev Shabbos to show that you're doing it for Kovod Shabbos. So a special din of Kovod Shabbos to light the candles Erev Shabbos. So says the Beis HaLevi. Famous piece in the Beis HaLevi. Okay, and what's the third reason? The third reason is Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis. What does it mean, Shalom Bayis? Shalom Bayis means that if it's dark in the house, you're going to bump into stuff and you're not going to be able to have a peaceful time on Shabbos. So that's why you have to also have the third reason is Kovod Shabbos. So we'll discuss this as we go along. Says the Mishnah. So the Mishnah basically outlines 2 things. Fuels and wicks that don't burn well. That's what you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. Here we go. So what are you not allowed to, you're not allowed to light with? What are you not allowed to light with? Ein madlikin lo be lechesh. You're not allowed a cedar. That's the soft part between the bark and the cedar tree that we just talked about. Lechesh, v'loba chosen, uncombed flax, v'loba chalach, a certain type of silk, v'loba psila sa'idin, not with the willow, it's the type of willow, the soft part of the willow tree, v'loba psila hamidbar, or the fiber from the desert, v'loba roka shal pnei amayim, the green on the water, that's sea moss, the green, the yarok. The sea moss. So these are all types of wicks. Now we get into fuels that don't burn well. Velo b'zepes, zephes pitch, velo b'shava, not with wax. You're allowed to light Shabbos candles with wax? It says that you're not allowed to use wax. We'll have to see what's the deal. That's why a lot of people prefer using oil over wax. It's a little bit of a more hither. Velo b'shemen kick. The Gemara is going to have 3 interpretations of what that is. Shemen srefa, oil that has to be burned. Velo b'alya, fat from a sheep's tail, v'loba chelev, it says here, tallow, I have no idea what that is, but I do know what it is. Chelev is a type of fat from an animal that you're not allowed to eat. Nacham amadi omer madlikim chelev mvushal, he says you are allowed to use boiled up a chelev, and machlokas are rishonim. Rashi says it means it's liquid now, but other rishonim disagree and say that it's after you cook it, but then you reconstitute it by putting it in the fridge. V'chacham omrim echad mvushal v'chad she'enu mvushal. Whether the fat is cooked or not cooked, either way, it doesn't burn nicely. So we're afraid you can adjust on Shabbos. Ein madlikin bo. So you're not allowed to light with it. Says the Gemara.
Lechesh socha da'arza. It's a branch from a cedar tree. Ask Gemara. Socha da'arza eitz ba'almu. What do you mean? It's not a wick. That's wood. No. Imrenisa de'ispa. There's a soft part, like a cloth-like part of the cedar tree in between the bark and the tree itself. So there's a soft piece in there. Below b'chosan and Rabbi Yosef. Naores shel pishtan. The soft parts of the flax. Amalei abaye v'oksiv v'haya chosan l'naores. I thought it does burn well. Mechlal d'chosan lav naoresi. Says the Gemara. El amar abaye kisna d'dayik v'lo nafet. It means uncombed flax. V'lo b'chalach. Amar shmol shel tenul chol nuchus hayam. I asked all of the sailors. V'amrili, what is it? V'amrili kulcha shmei. It's called kulcha. Rabbi Yitzchak Vizier Omar, Gushkira. It's a type of silk. It's like the bad part of the silk. Ravin Vabai Havayasve Kamei de Ravna Nechemya Achua de Resh Kalusa. Ravin and Abaya were sitting in front of Ravna Nechemya, who was the brother of the Resh Kalusa, of the head of the Golos. Chazia de Havalovish, he saw he was wearing Mitachsa. He was wearing a certain garment called Metaxa. Amalei, Ravin La Abaye. So Ravin said to him, that type of silk, Hainu Klach, Disnan. He looked and he said, oh, you see what the rabbi's wearing? Ravin said, oh, you see what Nechemya is wearing? That's what that silk is Klach, that it's in our Mishnah. Amalei, Abaye said to him, Anan, Shira Paradna Karinan Le. We call this particular type of silk Shira Karadna. So the Gemara, so it sounds like Klach and Shira Karadna are the same thing. Meisve, they asked, Hashiroim v'aklach v'asriken. So this shear, the shear is a silk, and klach and sriken, another type of softer silk, chayav and betzitzis. So you see, it's two different things. Tiyufta derav and tiyufta. Iba Yisema, some want to answer, some have the girsa just tiyufta. Iba Yisema, some want to answer, no, shira l'chud v'shira paradna l'chud. There's two different types of silk. One shira is shirai, right? Shirai is silk. Shira parad is a different type of silk. V'lo b'fsilas ha'idon, achvina, willow. Ravin v'abai avakazi b'fiksa de tmarorisa b'fix b'faksa de tmarorisa. Ravin v'abai were walking in this valley in tmarorisa. Chazin l'hani arvasa. They saw these willows. Amar le, Ravin l'abaye. Hainu Idan Ditnan. This is Idan that we have in our Mishnah, which is you're not allowed to make a wick out of it for Shabbos. Amalei, Hahi Eitz Ba'almu. No, that's not what it is. That's just a wood. How in the world would you think you could use that as a wick? Klaf V'achvile Amrinis and Debeni Beni. But then he peeled the outside. He showed him that on the inside there was actually a soft part. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. The soft part of the willow. Velobif Silas Hamidbar. Shavra, says the Gemara, that's a certain type of nettle. That's a sirpad. Tachas a sirpad yaleh hadas, the pasuk says. It's a type of nettle that's soft that could be used as a wick, but it's not a good enough wick, and therefore you can't use it on Shabbos. It's not going to burn nicely. V'lo biroka shal pnei ha-mayim, the sea moss. Mahi, ilema ukamta d'charitze. If you're talking about it's mamish, the sea moss. If that crumbles in your hand, that you can't make a wick out of that. Elamar Papa ukamta da arba. No, it's the sea moss that gathers on the wood of the boat. On the boat, so that sea moss, apparently it's not the stuff that's on the water itself, it's the stuff that gathers on the boat that you could potentially make a wick out of. Tana we learned in the Braisa. Hosifa alein shel tzemer v'shel sear. You're also not allowed to use a woolen wick or hair. V'tana didan, artana. Semer michvitz kovitz. You can't light it at all. Seir yichrachuche michrach. It gets burnt right away. There's no havamina. Velo bezefes, not with pitch. Zefes zifsa. Shava kirusa. Hold on, should we stop here 1 second? Yeah, this is already starts the new thing with zefes and shava. Oh, tomorrow's blood is a long daf. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll stop here because this discusses the whole thing about wax. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a great day.
Have a good morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.